Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years allows me to be here on Wednesdays to hopefully bring you great shows like today's. A reminder that coming up on Monday, October the 14th, will be our annual golf outing, and one of only two ways that we raise significant funds each year. And so I'd ask you to visit our website at inhissign.com. On the homepage, you can download a flyer that has all the information about how to register for golf, join us just for dinner, and how to sponsor various activities that day, whether it's sponsoring one of the golf holes, sponsoring the lunch or the dinner. And then we can also use gifts for our silent auction, which will also take place that evening. Again, that's October the 14th. Less than 2 weeks away now. We'll be out of Talamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. One other note, this coming Friday out at the Malvern Retreat House, because it is First Friday, we'll have Mass at 7:30 a.m., followed by breakfast, during which we'll have fellowship and faith sharing. All are more than welcome to join us. Yours truly will hopefully be there this week. I haven't made the First Friday in quite a while. But things have lined up this week where I think I'm going to be able to get there. So hopefully we will see you there. Without any further ado, I want to introduce our guest today, and that's Dan Burke. He's the founder and president of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation, which offers graduate and personal enrichment studies in spiritual theology to priests, deacons, religious, and laity in more than 90 countries, and prepares men for seminary in more than 40 dioceses. He's also been involved with EWTN. He's written a number of books, and goes on and on. We could probably spend half the first segment just talking about all of his accomplishments, but because we want to have the conversation, I want to get to him as soon as possible. So welcome to the show, Dan. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you as well.
And I was first made aware of the book we're going to talk about today. It was probably at the end of 2023. It's called Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. It's published by Sophia Institute Press, available at sophiainstitute.com. Locally here in the Philadelphia market, I'd encourage you to go to the St. Jude shop and pick up a copy there before you go to some of the other online retailers. And when the book came out, Dan, I was familiar with Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. I had come across that a number of years ago. Being in recovery from addiction, I always have my eyes out for anything that will help me learn about and do God's will. And so I had read that Alphonsus Liguori's treatise probably 15 to 20 years ago. But when I saw your book and then actually read it, I mean, it was spot on for a number of reasons. So what was it that initially made you want to write this book?
Well, my oldest son, who also had some addiction challenges but had a major conversion and reversion back to the faith and is helping many guys do the same, recommended to me. So it's quite a glorious thing, you know, the last two spiritual books that I've read, he has recommended to me. And he said, Dad, you got to read Uniformity with God's Will. It's just, it's gotten me through this horrible storm, you know, with his own addictions. And he talks about this publicly, so it's okay to, with his own addiction, it ruined his marriage and really brought him into the absolute despair. And so climbing out from that mess was really a challenge that required perspective that this book gave him. And so it helped him to guide him and to calm his heart as he's unraveling all the messes he created and getting his life back in order with God. And so that was why I read it. Why I wrote this book was, when I read it, I thought, well, you know, another book like it helped me out of the darkness for different reasons, just because of childhood abuse and a lot of the junk that went along with the life, also a rough life. Abandonment to Divine, or I'm sorry, Sacrament of the Present Moment by Jean-Pierre de Caussade, which is a similar subject as, or it's the same subject as this book. But this one I found to be the most clear. It's fairly confrontational and direct. And I thought, this book cannot be hidden anymore in a pamphlet, because, as you know, it's a letter. It was a letter, and so it's not very long. And I thought, well, how do I get it out of, you know, people buy it and then it disappears. You know how pamphlets work, or
right.
Booklets work. They just disappear into your bookshelf, and you know, you forget you have them. And so I thought, well, you know, it could use a commentary, because it was written in the 1700s, and it's, you know, some of the language is tough, and the concepts are, you know, that the author assumes that people would understand. They don't in our modern times. And so that was the genesis of the book, was just wanting to help in a very, very difficult time in the church and the world, people to find peace in the storm. And there's just no better treatment of that subject.
No, and I couldn't agree more. And that the help that you provide by letting folks know, like you said, you know, what was going on in the 18th century and what Alfonso de Liguori assumed people were doing. And because the folks that I read this book with, you know, vary in how much time that they've actually been back to the faith, much like your son. Most of us were lapsed Catholics, and I've been back for 30 years now, but there were others that, you know, it's less than a year that they're back. And so a lot of the concepts and assumptions that Alphonsus makes would not have been clear to them without your help.
Well, God be praised. I mean, one of the things that has become a sort of a mission for me is I've written so many books now on Catholic mystical tradition, and most of the time, well, I would say all of the time, my goal is to bring the of these great mystics and doctors of the church into a place of understanding, and then also a place of practical application. Because so often, you know, many of these writers, of course, were 16th, 17th, 18th century, even 19th century, and the language can be archaic, and the expressions can be a stumbling block. And so if we can bring the wisdom they had, because obviously they're all saints and many of them doctors of the church, into modern times, then, you know, we can all benefit from that, and hopefully help us on the way to becoming saints, to becoming authentic disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, there's so many lines in this book that I've have highlighted. Both Alphonsus and yours, but one of the things that a number of people may have struggled with in our group at the outset was those that have suffered, and much like yourself, like your son, myself, and especially those that have physical suffering that, you know, they didn't ask for or bring on themselves, that, you know, trying to understand that, you know, this great God that we have, this all-loving and merciful God that we would have, that he allows these things to happen. And
right.
So for some people, that was a struggle initially.
Yeah, that is part of one of the things I wanted to speak to, because obviously I can speak to both suffering related to abuse and suffering related to my own physiological issues. I've suffered life-threatening disease my whole life, you know. So, and then all, then just the normal stuff we all have to deal with, you know, in life. And so I think it helps to have a credible voice to say, well, this isn't just some inaccessible saint who, you know, who knows who he is and what he's ever, you know, gone through. It's also this other guy who has been dealt some pretty difficult situations and can say without wavering, I know the Lord caused or allowed these things, and it's for the ultimate praise and glory of his name and my own salvation. And I can say that with confidence. And so I think that, I don't know how your group responded to that, but I think it can help the reader deal, you know, who has suffered, deal with it. But it is a hard concept when you've, especially when you've been the victim of somebody else's crime, you know, and in a way, and in a very unjust way at a human level, been treated poorly or horribly. It's hard to stomach and understand. It's hard to gain an eternal perspective on all of that.
Yeah, and I think what really helped is differentiating between, you know, the things that God actually wills and may cause to happen, whether it's, you know, through placing a thought, guardian angels, however, you know, God causes things to happen. But the other part, that permissible will, where God doesn't necessarily cause it to happen or want it to happen, but he allows it to happen in order to bring about a greater good.
Yeah, I think there's a third distinction that helps to deal with those first two, especially the second. The third distinction that's important to understand is he's not the author of sin. So sin is the reason for, you know, all of our worst kinds of suffering, and he didn't cause that. He did, of course, desire to create a reality wherein his creation could know his love and reciprocate that love. What I mean by his creation, that's us. And so in that context, it requires free will and the consequences of rejection of that love, which is sin. So when we separate these sort of brutal and most difficult realities that we experience in life and remember that he didn't cause it all, it is necessary. And by the way, if it wasn't necessary, we couldn't know or give love. Or if you said, I want him to fix it all now, then how many people end up in hell in the moment that he decides, that have an opportunity to repent if he gives us, you know, more time? So if we can get that right, then it's a little easier to deal with, okay, he allowed this, and it hurt like hell. But if, when I step back, I do see, you know, as St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, he said, we comfort others with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. And that this cycle of suffering and redemption that we're playing a part in is not just for us. In fact, it's often very much for those around us who need that same comfort.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like your son being afflicted with addiction issues. And, you know, when I first started to address it, and I would hear people say that they were thankful that they had the same addiction. And I was often thought, how can anybody be thankful for having this disease, as we would call it? And then, you know, here I sit 30 years later thanking God every day, you know, that this is the affliction that I have, because it's manageable. Not, first of all, it's manageable. And second of all, it's brought me closer to God than I ever would have gotten otherwise. And,
right.
And so it's, you know, kind of where my life has gone. But the title of the book, Finding Peace in the Storm, and then there's a, you know, a particular chapter in here about I just had it in front of me. Chapter 3 talks about happiness and happiness deriving from perfect uniformity. And I guess it goes along the same lines with finding peace in the storm. When we realize that, that things that are happening in our lives are either because God wants it to happen or he allows it to happen, it mm-hmm. it completely changes our attitude, doesn't it, in the way that we look at things.
Yeah, I mean, that, and as Christians, we're called to be a representative of Christ to the world, right? And if the world is falling around us, apart around us, and we're falling apart too, who's there to witness to the gospel and the redemption of God? You know, so the when we realize, you know, and it's so hard to explain. There's, you know, like the stage of being where we're like animals, right? So the circumstances occur to us, they hit us, and we curl up in a ball or we lash out or we're, you know, we're just sort of a mess at that stage. And then there's this stage of becoming awake to the reality of God's presence, his work, his redemptive plan. And then we begin to say, okay, I just took that hit. Why? What's going on? You know, last year I had I have lung disease that's pretty bad. And last year, if I'd have gotten the flu, I would have died, or pneumonia. I could have died easily. I was very sick the whole year. And, you know, I mentioned this in the book, I came to know and experience in a very tiny way. I want to say insignificant just in comparison to Christ's suffering, his suffering on the cross, in a way that changed me. And I wouldn't trade healthy lungs for the ability to identify with him and his suffering. I wouldn't trade all the suffering, you know, for this sort of tranquility that doesn't confront my ego and my pride and help me to become a man that's more gentle and reflective of Jesus. You know, I wouldn't. So when we come to that second stage of awakening and we begin to ask the question, why is this happening? How do I participate? Is then the next stage after that. Right. And then we say, how can I join you in this? The anxiety goes away. The frustration goes. I mean, I used to, you know, as a devout Christian, cussing mad at how horrible I felt. Tears, you know, I'm in the hospital again. What in the heavens is going on again? Why is this happening to me? I could have saved myself so much turmoil if I would have just said, well, it's happening because God willed or caused it, and it's necessary for my salvation. So, okay, now how do I join him? And all that time when I'm complaining, I'm actually complaining against God. I'm angry at God. I'm fighting God. And that's just not, it just, as you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not easy to overcome, you know, the third lines, like we have to go through everything we go through in order to get where we're going. And it's so true. But the pain that we experience, and if it wasn't for the pain, when we come through the other side and we experience that happiness, that joy, and really that peace that everybody's looking for, they may not know it, but that's what they're looking for. That until you actually experience it, it can be tough to understand that the pain was worth it. But once you're there, and only when you reflect back and see, you know, where you've come from and the things that you've gone through, that you can see God in it is a pretty neat experience.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're designed in such a way that we require contrast to understand truth. Paul said something that can sound very confusing in the New Testament. St. Paul said there must that conflicts or heresies or confusions exist that the truth might be known. Are we still connected?
Yes, I got you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so there, it must be that heresies exist so the truth might be known. Well, what he's saying is we have to have false teaching besides true teaching to understand the truth, or we can't understand it. So I think similarly, we have to know pain and suffering to know joy and exhilaration and glory and praise. It's just the way we're wired.
Yeah, one of the things, and it was a lengthy chapter. We took 2 weeks to. We only meet once a week, so it took us a couple of weeks to get to it. Is that after you understand the joy and the peace that can come from this, the happiness, you know, God allows spiritual desolation as well. Somebody like Mother Teresa of Calcutta that seemingly experienced desolation for decades. And hopefully most of us don't experience it that long of a drought. But, you know, God allows that to happen as well. Sometimes I think it's to see if we'll persevere. But again, it's good for us in the long run, right?
Well, and I think with Teresa of Calcutta, the particular affliction in her case, in my opinion, is very different than what most of us experience. I think she was a victim soul, but I think she also, you know, she's the founder of an order who's dedicated to caring for those that nobody else cared for. And I think that the abandonment that she experienced with respect to God's presence was necessary for her to be able to commiserate in a deep way with those who are totally abandoned. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that affliction was for the sake of her ability to be compassionate to those who are suffering the same, but on a physical, temporal level. But in terms of desolation, it is not normal. What she experienced was very anomalous. You know, what's normal is for us is to live a life of joy and peace. That's what Scripture teaches, that's what Jesus teaches, that's what Alfonso Liguori is teaching, what St. Paul taught. And in the context of that reality, we ebb and flow in consolation and desolation, we ebb and flow in suffering and sorrow and joy and elation. The more deeply configured we are to Christ, the more we are able to transcend the present moment, that we're able to transcend the winds of the circumstance, the waves of circumstance, and rise above it and walk on water with Jesus above it, if you will, spiritually, and then help others to do the same. We're not meant to be groveling victims of our own sin or of other people. We're meant to be victors in this life, overcomers that help others to find Jesus and find God in the way that we have.
Very good. Our guest today is Dan Burke, and the book we're talking about is Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. Again, it's published by Sophia Institute Press, available at Sophia Institute's website. It's also available at Dan's website, spiritualdirection.com. We're going to talk quite a bit about the other work that he does with Spiritual Direction and the Avila Foundation after the break. But would encourage you to pick up the book from those sources first, spiritualdirection.com, sophiainstitute.com, or locally here, pick it up at the St. Jude shop. I was just there on my way to the radio today and had to pick up some supplies for the ministry, and they've got a whole lot of books, especially those published by Sophia. So you want to pick it up there. We talked for just a minute, Dan, before we came on the air, and I have to tell you, I'm thrilled to have you. We were supposed to get together on June the 5th, and I know you were struggling physically that week. I think you may have lost your voice, and I know some of that may have had to do with the lung condition or something, but I'm so glad that we were able to finally connect. And in God's providence, he saw to it that we finished the book last night before you came on. So, you know, what is it? My disappointments are divine appointments, I guess. And glad we were finally able to connect.
Yeah, me too. It's a joy to talk about. I really... I'm passionate about, I mean, I've written a lot of books, and I like a number of them. This one is at the top of the list that I think if everyone in the church could read who's faithful, they would be really powerfully equipped to ride all the craziness out that we're experiencing now.
Especially now in this day and age. And, you know, it's a shame because, you know, when I was in the throes of it, I never imagined that that the saints were happy, joy-filled people. They seemed, some of them anyway, to have, you know, miserable lives, and they'd gone through a lot of their own pain and suffering. And, you know, that's something as human beings on this planet, it seems we do everything in our power to avoid any kind of pain or suffering. And yet it's through that, you know, God, you know, brings us closer and closer. And so when you read this and you come to understand why those things happen, that's where we find the peace, or at least I have, and obviously you and your son and many others have. So, like you, it should be like required reading for every high school kid. You know, sometimes when I come across these things, it's like, why didn't I learn this, you know, when I was just becoming an adult? I had to be, 50 years old before I came across this. I got to save myself a lot of pain and anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. Well, the other thing about all of this is it isn't a once and done thing. I mean, literally this week, you know, I've been calumniated by somebody in the church, which caused a whole fiasco of events to occur, and so I'm having to scramble and make changes, and you know, thankfully, I don't have to answer any questions or do any follow up with it, but it just caused a decision on the part of a bishop to significantly disrupt our program, and we made some adjustments, whatever, and. You know, and so what I've done is I've started listening to this book. By the way, it's available on audio version as well. My son, the one that we've been talking about, actually narrated it. And I've been listening to it over again, just you know, because I've had a little bit of desolation. And just to pull me out of that desolation, remind me, you know, God's the one. He allowed this person, you know, to do this against me. He allowed this bishop to make a decision without calling me. He allowed the subsequent consequences to be challenging.
Yeah.
I will say, interestingly enough, the end result was we had a particular priest who was going to be leading a retreat for priests. And that priest got pulled from the program at the last minute. So I had to do the retreat. I had to lead off the retreat.
Yeah.
And I came in, I want to say, unprepared, because it was a last-minute thing. I came in a bit rattled, came in not quite, you know, I've never participated, you know, even though it falls under the Avalon Institute, it's a big organization, I've never done this before. But what the fruits that came out of it were extraordinary. You know, I had a number of, two priests at the retreat say, they were cynical, they were really not in the right place, they were heading the wrong direction. And the retreat absolutely helped them to see clearly what was going on, turn around. So you could stand around and whine and complain about, oh, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
This person, yeah, yeah.
Now, I get it, Dan, and it's just amazing because when we have a calm head and we were able to take a look back over and see the events as they occurred and see God in it, man, it's fun to watch sometimes. It's not fun when you're going through it, but it's really interesting when we get to the other side. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we are at the bottom of the hour. We're just going to take a short break to take care of some business.
Sure.
And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your endeavors with the Avila Foundation and spiritualdirection.com and how our listeners can plug in and really learn about how to incorporate this into their life. For our listeners, again, our guest is Dan Burke. We've been talking about Finding Peace in the Storm, published by Sophia Institute. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Dan in just a minute. Don't go away.
K
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Again, your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for being with us for whatever part of the 2 hours you could be with us today. Just a reminder that we are here Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, locally on 800 a.m. WTMR, always available at tmrradio.com. And they have a great app you can use to listen on your smartphone or tablet. We've had calls from folks that are listening in London and Florida and all around the country, so we know it works. Just one last request for you for the golf outing. Again, that's coming up on October the 14th. If you haven't looked at the flyer yet, you can get it on our homepage at inhissign.com. Check it out. Hopefully you can make it. I will certainly be there whacking a little white ball around, and hopefully you will be too. Our guest today is Dan Burke. We've got in touch with him because he's written a great book called Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. In the first segment today, we talked about the book and the impact that it can have on people's lives, and truly being able to find peace in the storm, especially in 2024 when literally everything seems to be falling or collapsing around us, whether it's the war in the Ukraine, Iran recently bombing Israel, the election here in the United States, the Hurricane Helene that didn't quite make it up our way, Dan, but hit Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and what have you, number of people impacted. It can be really difficult to see, you know, what God's role is in all this. And you read the book and you may come to accept it, but there's practical things that people can do. And I mentioned at the outset that last night in our group, we finished up the book by reading Appendix A. It says, what next? And
yeah.
So you have everything. You lay out Alphonse's writings for us and tell us where we can end up. But there's practical things that we need to get there, right?
Yeah. I mean, some of it will be obvious to your listeners. One of the things that we wanted to highlight was that we all need to have a deep and abiding yes to God. You know, Mary is the exemplar of what it means to say, you know, be it done unto me according to your word, according to your will. And so she had to make a choice. And a lot of times Catholics, we don't think about that need to say, you know, I'm all in for Jesus. You know, I'm not a passive participant. I'm active. I want to be an authentic disciple of yours. I want to know you. I want to be known by you. And when we make that choice, you know, we exit out of kind of living a lukewarm kind of faith, which is very dangerous and warned about in the book of Revelation, where Jesus said, you know, you're neither hot nor cold. Because you're not hot or cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So saying yes and abiding in that yes to God brings us to a place where we come to know and follow him and know the graces that come from that. So, you know, just even the ability to pray, the ability to, as you've done, by God's mercy, but also by your own fighting, getting free of addiction. Those things come when we abandon ourselves to God. They don't come when we're pew warmers. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And it, I found it in my own life that there's that old saying, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. And every time, we kind of talked about this in the first segment, every time we think we've reached a level where God wants us to be, you know, we find out that there's, you know, yet another level to get to. And somehow or other, he manages to push us in that direction. And unfortunately, I think for those that read the book, and I read it back in May, anticipating our getting together in June. And as a result, I actually have an account now on Apostoli VA. I've taken some of the online courses myself. And so I recommended the folks last night that they kind of do the same. And I think that's the practical aspect of doing these things. It, like you say, it's one thing to be, you know, to go to church on Sunday, to be generally a good person. And that's all well and good. I say it a lot, especially for people that have struggled with addiction, that, you know, for them sometimes, you know, it's enough to and this is exaggerating, of course, but, you know, to stop, you know, smacking your wife and kicking the dog and going to jail and getting DUIs. For some people, just having the bad stuff stop is enough. But for folks like me, once you experience God a little bit, you want more. And so having the resources that you provide to get a little bit deeper, I think, is a great asset.
Yeah, you said it well. I just want to reiterate, you know, one of the benefits of what you've suffered, and I don't know a lot about your suffering, but just in the little that we've talked about and knowing, you know, what it means to suffer, one of the benefits is that the darkness is so clear to us, we don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. But that clarity also says, well, the light is much more clear, right? So
right.
One of the secrets, as you know, to getting free is community. And one of the most powerful gifts the church has to offer its people is community. And you know, St. Therese, was it St. Catherine of Siena that God the Father said through her, I've designed you in such a way that it is not possible for you to come to salvation on your own, which means I need Ken Johnston and he needs me and I need, you know, whatever the list is. And one of the most powerful things for me, even though I'm very naturally a loner, is living in community and being a part of community. And that's why one of the reasons why I founded Apostoli VA, which you noted, is not an online community, but because we have local expressions all over the world. There's over 4,000 members of the community. We have them in Australia and Los Angeles and Livermore and, you know, Ireland. So, but I can't say enough about the power of joining a good, faithful community to help you direct your spirituality, be encouraged by people who are struggling with the same thing and care about the same thing. And it's the way we were designed to get to heaven, by helping each other, not by being lone wolves.
Amen. So when you, I guess when you first got started in your ministry, so that I think there's various websites, right, that people use. You have Apostoli VA for the fellowship, and I know you have a number of free courses that are there. But there's also spiritualdirection.com and the Avila Foundation.
Yeah, the Avila-Institute.com, Avila-Institute.com is where we provide classes in spiritual theology, which is the topic we're talking about today, for priests, religious, and laity all over the world. And we have graduate-level courses, and we have personal enrichment courses for people who are very busy but who want the same kind of quality of work to help us to do this, the very thing we're talking about right now, which is gaining an understanding of what is true and real and good and beautiful that God desires to point us to, so that we can find our way to Him and to heaven. So, yeah, Avila-Institute.org is the school, and then SpiritualDirection.com provides, there's like thousands and thousands of articles, videos on the interior life.
Yeah, I saw recently, because it kind of ties in with the book when it comes to spiritual desolation. I think you were doing some work with one of my favorites, Father Timothy Gallagher.
Oh yeah, love Father Gallagher. He is the real deal in front of the scenes and behind, and we've done a lot of work. We have some free courses on Apostoli VA with Father Gallagher. Discernment of Spirits and Marriage is probably my favorite. But yeah, he's absolutely a gift to the church.
Yeah. It amazes me, as well versed as he is in Ignatian spirituality, that he wasn't a Jesuit, but that's okay. Great. But for those of us that have read the book and want to do the next steps, and like I said, I know a number of them are listening, the logical sequence would be to hop onto apostoliva.org and create an account.
Yeah, and it's all free, as you know. Everything in the website is free. The courses, everything that we provide, even though it's not free to provide it. I have to do a lot of fundraising to provide it, but it's a joy to do it. But yeah, sign up, create an account. There's a little orientation you have to go through, a little longer than most people like, but we're trying to make sure we don't have Facebook or social media behavior in the community. We want everyone to be loving, caring towards one another, patient, you know, and not just spewing a lot of the junk out there in the world. The community is interesting because we have everything from traditionalists to charismatics to, you know, Novus Ordo to Latin Mass to Byzantine, and we all get along. The reason we all get along is because we're focused on the authentic magisterium of the church, focused on Jesus, and I think it's a very powerful place to help people to take that next step and to go deeper in their faith.
Yeah, one of the other books that you wrote, and it was funny because when you read that What's Next, it's depending on the glasses that you're wearing as you're looking at it, it can sound like a sales pitch. And I know that that's not what it is. It's just these resources you happen to have available and ready to tap into. But one of the books is Into the Deep, and I've not gotten to it yet. I've got it in my cart in someplace and planned to pick it up. I also picked up, and it was funny because Father Bartunek was actually on the show 2 or 3 years ago, maybe it was longer than that, whenever his book on the four Gospels came out.
Oh, yeah, the better part. Like
an updated, yeah, the better part, an updated edition. We had them on. And so I have picked that up. And we do have a few minutes left. The idea of mental prayer, and sometimes people don't quite you hear it, and we think when we think mental prayer, we're saying, okay, well, that's going to go on between our ears. But there's a little bit more to it than that, and I know you can't do a whole course in 10 minutes on mental prayer, but maybe just at a high level, because it seems to be one of the key things to the spiritual life that you talk about.
Well, we have a free course on that, which you don't have to go to sign up at Apostle EDA to get. You just go to spiritualdirection.com/pray. But mental prayer is what it means to have a conversation, a relationship with God. It's what all of the saints understand when they go into that deeper kind of prayer. It's not making stuff up in your head. It's not quieting your mind. It's talking to a friend, as St. Teresa of Avila said. But a lot of times we don't understand how that works. And so mental prayer, and this is one of the what's next things, and it's one of the things that St. Alfonso Liguori says we can't make it to heaven without. He literally says, if you don't practice mental prayer, the road is too hard, we're too easily deceived, and we're not going to make it. Well, what does that mean? What he means is, if you're not close with Jesus and you don't know him and he doesn't know you, which, and you can be a devout Catholic and not know him. I was just in part of my retreat for the priests. I talked about how, you know, Philip said to Jesus, you know, show us the Father. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long and you don't know me, Philip? You know, so you have one of the disciples walking side by side with Jesus, and he doesn't understand him. He doesn't get him. He's not yet, you know, with him. We see that repeated in the parable of the 10 virgins and the judgment in Matthew 7:22 at the judgment. And it's a scary thing just to conceive of, well, I've said, Lord, Lord, and I've done good things in your name. And he says, well, I don't know you. You can't come in. So we have to know him. How do we know him? We've got to talk to him, you know. We can't say, well, Jesus is the most important thing in my life, person in my life, and have no conversation with him. I mean, what would it be like if you and I met every week and you asked me how my wife was, and I said, I don't know. And the next week you asked me again, I said, well, she's wonderful and she's marvelous, but I don't know how she's doing. You know, you might say, well, you need to be hospitalized. What's wrong? What's going on here? It's because it just makes no sense to not communicate. But many devout Catholics have yet to really come to understand that we have to give time to God and talk with him, listen, and learn to listen, and then thereby better follow him.
Yeah, and my own experience has been the same, that if your life is relatively easy in that you haven't had a, you know, much suffering, you haven't perhaps lost a loved one yet, not plagued by addiction, that it's easy to, you know, punch your ticket each Sunday and go to Mass. And unfortunately for a lot of us, it takes some suffering in order to push it to that next level. And, you know, working sometimes with so-called normal people that, you know, like an immense prayer group where, you know, nobody's had struggled with addiction and had serious issues, and watching them over the last 15 years and how much the men in that group have changed as a result of coming together to pray together and share about their lives together, that fellowship that you talked about earlier, and how much it's needed in order to gain heaven. And to watch them go from people that were afraid of opening their mouths and sharing about the smallest things in their lives to now on a Saturday morning being willing to bare their souls is has been interesting to watch. And so I don't know if that's absolutely what it takes, that you have to go through some significant suffering in order to be forced there. But, you know, I think it would definitely help for people to try it before it gets to that point. You know, why not experience all that God wants to give us now instead of waiting until we're forced to go there?
Well, we have an example of that. Yesterday was the feast day of St. Therese. And we have an example of a saint who didn't have to go into a black hole of sin and do some of the things that you and I have done in order to get free. So she's proof. You don't have to hit rock bottom to start working your way up, you know. And it really is actually not a great idea.
Amen.
It's a painful path, but regardless, the Lord is always there for us. Always lighting the way for us, as long as we just keep moving towards Him, and He'll show us what to do and where to go. He'll lead us to the right resources. He'll comfort us, strengthen us. It's a beautiful life to live as a Catholic.
I couldn't agree more. I also can't thank you enough, Dan, for spending the whole hour. I know you're a busy guy. I get the emails when new podcasts come out, new articles come out. And I'm sure that there's never a dull moment in your life, and to be able to get an hour of your time to join us today, I certainly appreciate it, even if nobody else does. So thank you so much for that. And we've got just a couple of minutes left. So anything that we haven't talked about that you want to relay to our listeners before we have to part ways?
Sure. I would just ask for prayer. Tonight I'm going to be teaching a class to 110 guys from dioceses all over the world who are discerning the priesthood. And that's part of our work is to do, we help men, we work with dioceses and with religious communities with guys who are discerning the priesthood. And our work is to help them discern that process, to teach them prayer, the things that we're talking about now, discernment of spirits, and teach them about a healthy use of social media and human sexuality and all that. And so please, if the folks would just pray for us. I think that there are a lot of good organizations out there in the church. Love the work that Scott Hahn's doing at the St. Paul Center, just as one of many examples. I don't know of an institution, and this could sound braggadocious, I guess, but I don't know of an institution, because of our focus on the priesthood, that's doing more to heal the priesthood and thereby heal the church. Because when we have healthy priests, things really go the right way.
Yeah.
When we don't, we don't. But God be praised, He's given us this great work to serve hundreds and hundreds of men, both in and out of the priesthood or on their way in. So that's a high calling program. So if there's anybody out there who is discerning the priesthood, and you want to go to a kind of an outside person to talk to and help with that, go to myhighcalling.com.
Now, and that's an awesome resource, because I was talking about it in the 4 o'clock hour here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We've had a couple pastors that have died in the last couple months, and there's just nobody to backfill those positions. And so we now have a number of priests who are, a pastor at one parish and a parochial vicar pro tem at another, and, really getting spread thin. So the work that you're doing is just awesome. And hopefully we'll, we may not see immediate results, especially here in Philadelphia, but, over time, it'll bear much fruit. And, for our church. And so thank you for that.
Yeah, well, it'll bear more fruit, especially if you all pray for us.
Yep.
It's been great talking with you. Really grateful for you taking all these folks through the study of finding peace, and really hope that it bears huge fruit for them.
Very good. Thanks again, Dan, for being here for the whole hour. Again, our guest was Dan Burke, and we've been talking about Finding Peace in the Storm, published by Sophia Institute Press, available at sophiainstitute.com. Dan's website, spiritualdirection.com, locally here in the Philadelphia market. Check out our friends at the St. Jude Shop. If they don't have it in stock, they can get it for you right quick. Thanks again, Dan, and hopefully we can do this again one day in the future.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. God bless. Great to talk to you.
You too. Take care now.
Bye.
Again, we've been kind of on a roll here these past few months. Every time we think we can't top the guest that we had the week before, we managed to get one of either better or at least equal value. And I think we got that today in Dan Burke. Like I'd said before he came on, I've been looking forward to this ever since he was scheduled to be here in June. And hopefully you've got as much out of it as I did today. You'll get even more out of it if you pick up the book. And I'll put this out there. We had bought a case of the books back in June or July when I learned about it. We've gone through them. I've got a number of copies that are, I think there are a couple of them are still brand new. Some of them are lightly used. If you're interested in getting a copy, send me an email at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. Those books aren't doing me any good sitting on a shelf at the ministry. And perhaps in lieu of a donation, we can get you a copy. So shoot me an email, ken@inhissign.com. Once again, the 2 hours on this Wednesday afternoon have flown by. By the time we get together next week, we'll be down to about 5 days until that golf outing, and can really use your support. Like everybody else, everybody's expenses have gone up, and ours do too as a result. And most importantly, we thank you for everything you've done for us up until now. If you can do a little bit more, that'd be great. If you can just keep doing what you're doing, hopefully we can still get by. But come out and see us at the golf outing. It's always a great time. We'll have great food, fellowship. We'll raffle off some great prizes in the silent auction. I'm sure there'll be 50-50 and other things. But the most important part is being together like we've been talking about, that fellowship and being able to help each other get to heaven. So again, thank you for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with us today. I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. And I think our guests next week, we've got a couple of nuns from Louisiana that are going to talk about forgiveness and the sacrament of confession. I'm looking forward to that. And but know that between now and then that you are in my prayers, and I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless. Bye-bye.